Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
Well, if you ask anyone who's been in a relationship longer than the crush or that first puppy dog love phase of a relationship, they will tell you something that is very true, which is loving someone isn't always easy. In fact, actually, you can just ask my wife. I don't make loving me easy all the time. I hope I make it easy some days, but I know for a fact that I don't make it easy every day. But the reality that being in a relationship is difficult and doesn't bring love out in all circumstances isn't a new thing. In fact, actually, one of the earliest couples that we know about, Adam and Eve, had some problems around these kind of things too. Can you imagine that there were days where Adam had to choose to love Eve and some days where Eve had to choose to love Adam? They had some problems in their lives. And the reality is that they had some challenges. Now, they had some challenges that made life more difficult. And whether it's Adam and Eve or any of us today, we know that as life becomes more difficult, love becomes more difficult in our lives. And we need more love in our lives these days. We don't need less love, we need more love. We need more love in our lives, not less love in our lives. And especially with the circumstances that we're facing in our day and age. When we have more love in our lives, that's the life that God wants for us. And when we have less love, that's what God doesn't want for us. But the difficulty is that when life is difficult, it seems like getting more love in our lives is harder. Because when life is difficult, we have less love in our lives than more love in our lives. And that's just a fact of the matter. Now, the reality is that God wants more love in our lives and not less love. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus, bringing more love into your life is not optional. If you're a follower of Jesus, a Christian, or a member of a church, you've signed up for bringing more love into life than less love. If you're just kind of like checking Jesus out, you think he's cool, but you're not totally sold, then it's optional for you. I'd highly recommend it, but it's optional. But if you're a follower of Jesus, you know, just as I know, that bringing more love into life is what has to happen and not less love. In fact, actually, that's what Jesus commands us in one of the last things that he says to his disciples, as he says to them, "Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." Now, Jesus gives this command to his disciples at the Last Supper. According to the Gospel of John, this is one of the key teachings that Jesus has for his disciples. Now, we hear this, and we know that Jesus said it then, and we know that soon thereafter, he was headed to the cross. And so when we read this, we see the whole of who Jesus is, and we think to ourselves, that's a tough road to follow. But remember that when Jesus said that, he was talking to his disciples, and they didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know that he was about to go to the cross. And so Jesus would have been teaching them about an example of how he had loved them for his whole earthly time with them, for the about 3 years that he spent with him. I heard one of my favorite preachers make note of some of this very recently. Now remember, what Jesus was teaching them was to love one another as he had loved them. And how did Jesus love them? He had just spent 3 years showing them what that was all about. And so for the disciples, those followers of Jesus that were with him at that Last Supper, they would have had plenty of examples in their lives and in their minds of what that looked like. Now when we think about the life and the ministry of Jesus, we of course will look to the Gospels to give us an idea of what Jesus lived and how he loved and how he taught. But there's a little bit of a problem with that when we look to the Gospels, not because of what it says, but because what it doesn't say. Because if you think about it, the Gospels tell us about 3 years that Jesus had. And when you take out the birth part, you know, like Christmas, and when you take out part the end part, Easter, we're not left with a lot to fill in the 3 years. We're not left with a lot to understand all the things that Jesus meant when he said to love one another as I have loved you. But that's okay, because that's not the only clue we have as to what it means to love like Jesus loved. And in fact, there are other places in Scripture that we can look to get a better understanding of just what Jesus meant. And specifically, we can look to the work that Paul left behind. Now, Paul, as you remember, wasn't always Paul. At first, he was Saul. And Saul was a Pharisee who was bent on getting rid of all the people who claimed that Jesus was the Messiah, because he didn't want the disruption that they were causing. Now, eventually, Paul saw the light, and he went from being one who was trying to kill Jesus' followers to the best Jesus follower that we have ever seen in many ways. Now, after Paul saw the light, which was his Damascus Road experience, he started to understand that Jesus was the Messiah. And he went from trying to stop that message to spreading that message. But you got to remember, Paul had a lot to learn when he was going from Saul to Paul. Now, think about that. How would he have learned those things? He didn't join a Bible study. He couldn't have joined a Bible study because the Bible, as we think about it now, didn't exist yet because Paul hadn't written his letters and the Gospels hadn't been written yet. We think that Paul became who he was and we know him as around 37 or so AD. And we know Jesus died around 30, 35, somewhere in there. And so how did Paul learn what he needed to learn? He was told stories about who Jesus was. Now, right after he had his moment on the Damascus Road, he went and spent some time with a person named Ananias and other followers of Jesus. And in that time, he would have been told all kinds of stories who Jesus was. And Ananias helped him understand the impact of what it meant that Jesus was the Messiah. And eventually, Paul would go on to meet other followers of Jesus, people who probably knew Jesus personally at that time, who had lived with him, had seen all these things. And you know what happened? Time after time, they painted a picture for Paul of who Jesus was. They painted a picture to fill in the gaps, as it were, so Paul, who never knew him, would have a better understanding of who Jesus was as the Messiah. And little by little, Paul had a better and better picture of who Jesus was. And eventually, Paul started writing down these things because Paul was inspired to do so. And specifically, he would write these things down in the letters that he would send to his friends at these churches around the Mediterranean world, some that he had founded and some that he had just knew about or he had hoped to go visit. And one of the letters that he wrote was to his friends in Corinth. Now, in Corinth, he was helping them to try to recover from a couple of things. The letter that we know as 1 Corinthians, in fact, actually was probably the second letter that he wrote, so there's a lost letter of Paul in history that we don't have. But Paul was writing to them, trying to help them understand how to bring more love into their lives, how to bring more love into their world. And the reality is that Paul was drawing on what he knew, what he had been taught about who Jesus was. And so he would have had an understanding of who Jesus was, and Paul would have had drilled into his head that message that Jesus had, which was to love one another as Jesus had first loved us. And so eventually this picture of who Jesus was and how Jesus wanted us to love would have dawned on Paul. So what Paul had realized or what Paul had learned was many things about Jesus and therefore many things about love. What Paul learned was that Jesus was patient, and so that love must be patient. Jesus was kind, he learned. And so love must be kind. Jesus was not envious, and so love must not be envious. Jesus was not boastful, arrogant, or rude, so love must not be boastful, arrogant, or rude. Jesus did not insist on his own way, but one who loves must not insist on their own way. Jesus was not irritable, so one who loves must not be irritable. Jesus was not resentful, so one who loves must not be resentful. Jesus did not rejoice in wrongdoing, so one who loves must not rejoice in wrongdoing. Jesus rejoiced in the truth, so one who loves must rejoice in the truth. These are all the things that Paul understood about who Jesus was. And who Jesus was is then what love is supposed to be. So knowing all this and realizing all this, then Paul then wrote down this for his friends in Corinth. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Because that's what Paul understood love to be. And Paul knew that if we were to bring more love into the world, if we were to love as Jesus loved us, we needed all these things to be true about our lives so that we can bring more love into the world and not less love. Now, this passage is very familiar to many people. If you are married, maybe you had it read at your wedding. If you've been to a wedding, not many of us have been to many recently, but we've heard it at a wedding. And we hear it at weddings because it summarizes what love is supposed to be like. And at a wedding, we celebrate more love coming into the world. Now, we need to take all of these things that Paul writes about, that Jesus lived out, we need to take every one of those with us as we go into our lives trying to bring more love instead of less love. All these things add up to the kind of love that God wants us to have for one another. But I think in our time and age, there's one of these in particular that if we could focus on, based on the circumstances of our current lives, we might actually be able to bring more love into this world in a very important way. And this is the one that Paul identifies, that love is not resentful. With all the things that have been going on in our lives and all of the things that we have been experiencing in new ways in the last year or so, there's a lot of resentment that's building up. There's a lot of ways in which people are finding more and more resentment in their lives. But we know that love is not resentful. When I was growing up, I heard this passage in a translation that said, "Love keeps no record of wrongs." In the Message, it goes this way. It says, "Love does not keep score of the sins of others." Because love is not resentful. Now, there's a lot of ways in which there's a lot of scorekeeping going on in our daily lives, and there's a lot of scorekeeping that's been going on in the last year that we've been going through. And some of that's understandable. But really, keeping score, keeping track of wrongs, trying to build up grudges, that's what's happening, and that's not what's helpful. So for most of us, in healthy and faithful places in relationships, we want to be less resentful. Now, please hear me, though, that there are situations in which people find themselves in abusive or unhealthy relationships at work or at home, sometimes even at church or with the people that they play with. And if you're in one of those spots, you need to leave and you need to get out. And if I can help you get out, please be in touch so we can help you. But in many places and in many cases, that is more helpful to bring in less resentment so that we can be more loving. Maybe you're at home many more hours these days than you care to admit, and maybe you kind of have a sense that, you know, he's not holding up his end of the bargain. That's going to build resentment. Or maybe she's not holding up your end of the bargain as you see it. That's going to hold up to resentment. Or maybe there's a situation at work or at school or wherever it might be where you think somebody should be doing something and they're not, or they're doing something that they shouldn't be. And instead of trying to let go in the right ways so that you can bring love into that situation, you're going to build up that resentment. And the more resentment we have in our hearts towards someone, the less love we're going to have for them. And the less love we have, then it's less likely we're going to love like Jesus towards them and perhaps in more places in our lives. But there's also the reality that love is not selfish. And I need to mention that because I'd be remiss if I didn't. The other part of the way that this works is we don't want to be selfish towards the people in our lives. I could give a whole message about how not being selfish is a part of being loving, especially when you think about that in combination with what it means to be less resentful. And I wanted to mention that because, well, there are probably some men that need to think about this in their lives. Not all men, but many men might need to think about the ways that they need to be less selfish so they can be more loving. Because part of making sure that resentment isn't building up is making sure that you're not being selfish to contribute to someone's building up of resentment. Now, these two things and all of these things come together to show us what it means to love like Jesus loved. And just like Paul heard that message and had that reminded to him again and again, and then had, like he reminded it to his friends in Corinth, we need to be reminded of this as well, that love is what we need in these difficult times. We need more love and not less love. We need to remember that in these difficult times, we are more prone to bring out more love than less love. So perhaps in this time, and in this day, and maybe in this week to come, you might think about how are the ways that you can bring more love into your life by being less resentful. Maybe one of the other pieces of love fit to you more these days. But I think for many of us, we might want to consider being less resentful. So let's consider the ways in which God wants us to love as Jesus loved. And let's remember that if we can let go of the resentment, we will bring more love into our lives and more love into the world. And we need more love, not less love.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.